Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Running the point.
I'm Jason Carey. About time to get this thing started.
Running the point with Jason Carey, the Intelligent Podcast. Happy to be back online again here on ATL Podcast Network. Like I said, I usually start off my podcast with thank you. I thank everybody that's taking the time to listen to our podcast. Each one of these podcasts has blown up, so we're competing for ears out here. And so you take the time to listen to me. Take the time to come to the ATL Podcast Network and subscribe. I want to say thank you to our listeners first. Remember to follow ATL Podcast Network on Instagram. Follow Jason804. Today, I got a guest online. And this gentleman, when I found out his information and his accomplishments, I was like, this is a guy I definitely need to have a conversation with for various reasons. This gentleman is a motivational speaker, consultant, a life coach, an author, music producer, business owner, considered a Renaissance man is what was said in his bio. Said, yeah, this is definitely a gentleman that I need to talk to. Various titles. I want to welcome to the show for the very first time my man, Mr. Damon Naylor. Welcome, man. Welcome, Damon. How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm great, Jason. We surely appreciate the opportunity, and we're just glad to be here, man. Thanks so much for having us.
No problem. Now, did I do you any justice? I'm going to let you describe yourself in a moment. But did I do you any justice? The only thing I missed was a loud round of applause. Next time I got to make sure I put my round of applause in.
No, man, you did me some justice. I need your address to send you the money for doing that for me. I appreciate it.
Definitely.
Yes, indeed.
So before we even get started, people start listening and then they want to do the research and we'll find out who you are. So we're just going to start from the beginning. Social media, do you have an Instagram? Do you have a Facebook page that they can go to? What would that be?
Yes, the Instagram is Damon Naylor, DamonNaylor. And my Facebook is the same, Damon, DamonNaylor. And so you can find me at those. And also I'm on Twitter, and it's at DARIL and the number one. But that's the real one.
I'm
heavily involved in the social media, so you can find me in those places.
The conversation would go a whole nother direction, man, because I'd be like, you would need to be, and we need to talk about something else. So I'm glad that you definitely had the various handles ready to go. So I'm glad for that, man. So let's just get into the conversation a bit, man, with an interview here. The Renaissance Man, I talked about that. Now, that's a title that can't be taken lightly. You know, when you say Renaissance Man, a lot of people don't even know what it means. What does it mean to you to be called that? What does that mean to you?
Well, it just basically means a person who is multifaceted, who wears many hats and functions in a variety of capacities. And when you analyze me and what I am doing and what I have been doing for years now, I basically fit the description to a T.
To a T.
That's what you're basically looking at. And then someone also who is heavily involved in the arts and education and intellectualism. And so, like I say, when you look at the various definitions, I believe that I fit the fit the T, you know, fit the description to a T there. But that's what you're looking at, just somebody who's multi-talented, multifaceted, and doing a bunch of things all at one time and trying to do those things excellently. Some people,
that's
they
the
run
thing.
A while and they do a lot of different things, but, you know, sometimes they have things accomplished, things undone, a hand here, a hand there, but not really making any progress and not even completing things. But thank God we've been able to come into completion, and, you know, the things we put our hand to, they're coming to fruition, and we have the actual product to show and the services to show for what we're doing and what we have been doing.
Definitely. Yeah, movement and progress are two different things. So you're right. People just be moving around a whole lot, going nowhere.
Exactly.
I'm sure you were running to a lot of those. I know I do as well, man. So, and I wanted to put that out there because people, they hear these terms, and I use terms all the time on air. And I don't know if they're always if they always resonate with people. But I want the people to get the chance for this terminology to resonate. And again, because you said you're just in the intellectual space, this is an intellectual conversation and podcast. I want people to know what the devil are we even talking about. So
yeah, exactly.
Now,
yes,
I see you from you're from New Orleans and you live in Monroe, but you're in New Orleans, correct?
That's right.
And so how much has being from New Orleans influenced your career path, your chosen career path? Has it at all? Is it upbringing or just something you were always into? How has New Orleans affected you?
Well, I think with me being born and bred there and having my foundation, I just had a very interesting upbringing, and just I was exposed to a lot and experienced a lot, and because of it, I would say it made me mature more faster than your average person or average teen or just average person, period. And so with that happening, I believe it also gave me a boldness and a fearlessness to be able to pursue a variety of things just like I'm doing, because I basically feel as though there's no such thing as failure, but a learning experience. Even if you try and you don't succeed or accomplish what you desire, just having a gut to try it says everything to me.
Everything.
And I believe I really picked that up from being there and, you know, just experiencing things, going out and trying it and not worrying about the results, leaving that up to the universe and leaving it up to fate. But just doing my part, working my butt off and making sure that I do my part that's supposed to be done. And, you know, everything else will fall into place and take care of itself. I believe, you know, it really does have has had a very strong influence on what I'm doing and who I am as a person.
Cool. And do you see yourself as an inspiration to anyone that's coming behind you, or somebody that sees you from New Orleans? You consider yourself an inspiration, although you do inspirational speaking, which I'll get into that next. But just you accomplishing and working, do you see yourself as an inspiration? Is that something? Is that a goal of yours to be an inspiration to others just by action?
Yes, of course. Man, it's always been a goal. As a matter of fact, on a previous talk show, someone was asking me about my goals as a child, as a teen. And what I said, it was amazing, and because it really got the people's attention, that I always wanted to be a positive role model and an inspiration even as a teen. Most teens, you ask that question, they want to be rich, they want to be famous, but those weren't the things I desired. What I desired is what I actually am being, and that is just a role model, a positive influence, showing people that if you work hard, you be consistent, you have integrity, you do your best, then things will go well for you. You know, you can succeed, and I believe we're able to do that. But yes, sir, I set out. That was my goal, and that's what we're doing. We were able to accomplish that, and we're constantly fulfilling that same goal and dream, which is being an inspiration and being a positive influence to others, the younger people, as well as older, and just a range of people. You know, I try not to confine myself and be one-dimensional, but I try to just reach out and stretch and really transcend all barriers, whether it's cultural, age, or whatever, to inspire many people. But I do believe I really will have a great impact on those, and I'm having a great impact on those from New Orleans, my city. Yes, sir.
Sweet. So speaking of being an inspiration, last year you released what, your second inspirational ebook, The Greater Taste of Success. So I'm assuming the first one was the Great Taste of Success, right? that's part one.
Yeah, the Great Taste, exactly.
And the second one, The Greater Taste of Success.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the book itself. Tell me a little bit about the book.
Well, the format of it is 50 proverbs. And the first book, The Great Taste of Success, basically had a similar format, which was 50 proverbs. But I kind of had them scattered, and they all deal with success tips, discovering your destiny, finding your gift, purpose, relationships, and things of that nature. And so what I did with the second one was kind of organize it a little better, where we have the relationship principles, we have the Christian principles, we have destiny, we have positive thinking, we have leadership skills. And what I do with each of those, we have 7 proverbs, and they're accompanied by matching stories that further elaborate on those different proverbs. And so we'll have a profound statement. Like one is, in order to pursue and achieve a dream, one must first have a dream. And then we just elaborate on that.
Can't go by that.
Giving examples.
Don't just gloss over that one. You got to say that one again. Say that for, can't just gloss over that
okay,
one.
In order to pursue and achieve a dream, you must first have a dream.
Mm.
And, you know, that vision and dream is so important. It's so important. So important. Because other than that, you don't have anything to aim for. So.
Correct. And I talk about that quite often myself when I talk to people, either with a mentor or just in conversation, that's just about in anything. You got to have a goal. If I want to clean the house, the end goal is to clean the house, right?
Yeah.
So how am I going to go about doing that?
Yeah.
And I think
exactly.
In life and goals and everything, I think it's the same process. I think people think, and I was just having a conversation with my producer, things don't just happen.
No, indeed. Yeah, and sadly, man, so many people, that is the key element that's missing. Sometimes people might have the vision, but they don't understand how the task and the goals and all of that goals are inclusive with the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've known and I've worked with a lot of different leaders and stuff, and it amazed me how they see and know where they kind of want to go, but just how to align with it to plan and to act and to make adjustments so that it comes to pass, they have no clue. And what happens when you have a vision, you have to keep going back and forth to the drawing board. Like I say, you make your plans, but you have to keep your plans. Write them in pencil, I would say. Don't write anything in stone, because you have some unforeseen circumstances and obstacles that will occur in life, and it will, you know, sometimes delay your goal, delay your dream.
Yeah.
But if you're flexible and you're able to adjust, and you're not worried about it, if you have the patience, then eventually you will reach your goal. You will fulfill your dream. Your dream will become your reality. Your reality will become your dream.
Mm-hmm.
And everything will intersect and align
mm-hmm.
as long as you keep on and you're able to adjust. But, exactly. Yeah.
And there was a saying that I used to live by. Well, not even used to live by. I still live by. At one point in life, I had to change my outlook, because I think words are important. And anybody that listens to my podcast, you understand my affinity for words and connection to certain words and when to use them. And the word dreams was a word that I changed. I don't understand the idea of it, but I had to change it for me in my path, because you just said it just now, that things are happening, right? Things are happening. You got to rework it. You got to figure it out. So in order for me to visualize that, I changed the word dreams to plans, because people tend to rework plans. With dreams, they'd be like, well, it was just a dream, you know, so if I didn't make it, I didn't make it. But a plan, you're going to rework it.
I like that.
On my first album, I got a song called No More Dreams, and that's what that is about, which is about changing, that things going to happen. Like you said, things going to happen. And when it do happen, you rework it and keep it moving. So I like that saying.
I love that.
Indeed, man. Yeah. So now, if somebody wants to get the books, if they want to get one of your books, where do they go to get the book?
Well, as far as the e-book, on my website, my comprehensive website, we'll put that out there, is thereal.org. And on the first page, I have the link to my e-book, which is at a site called selfie.com. And if you go, like I said, the thereal.org, you can just click on a link right there for the ebook, and that's where it is. But if someone wants to go directly to it,
Selfie ain't giving us no money right now, so we ain't gonna give them no love. No, shout out to Selfie. They go to your website and click the link. That's it. That's where they going.
Okay.
Got
it. Yeah. Well, they could go there, and because I have it for sale on my website as well.
Gotcha.
But yeah, they could go there to the website, and it's there, thereal.org.
Thereal.org. So make sure you guys that are listening and want to get a piece of this book, please go out there and get the book. As a motivational speaker, you had a rather gaudy stat, I would say. I don't know, 300 speaking engagements, which is major. Congratulations, it's a huge accomplishment. I feel like I'm probably going to be congratulating you all the way through this interview. But 300 speaking engagements, it's a lot, man. To be called back once is an accomplishment, you know. So to reach 300 is a testament to not only the information, but also the work that you've put in, man. So how does one get to 300 speaking engagements? Like, how's that process even, how's that even happen?
Well, it's funny, man, because you have your seasons where it's like your phone is ringing off the hook and you're going here, you're going there, things are opening up. And then sometimes you may have your down seasons. But through the years, because I've been doing it for a minute, I would say I stepped out, you know, professionally to do it in 04, but even beyond then, I was basically just volunteering and doing it. But, yeah, that's what happened, man, just because I have about 22 years of speaking experience. So I've spoken at elementary schools, high schools, juvenile correctional facilities, colleges, you name it. But doors just open as people began to hear me, listen to me. It's, I always tell people, it's like, one speaking engagement, one opportunity seemingly leads to others. And that's basically what happened. And, I mean, it went through periods of where it was just snowballing, you know, getting calls here and there, appearing here and there to conduct a speaking engagement. But that's basically how it has happened. It has just accumulated over the years, and we basically kept our hands to the plow and continued on it. And God is still opening doors now. That's why we're still doing this among the other things we're doing. But, yes, that's how it happened.
As a motivational speaker, do you feel like you got a grasp of that process? Like, if somebody wanted to get into it, could you kind of give them a good blueprint of how to get more speaking engagements and how to go about really getting your name out there?
Yeah, of course, man. And one of the main things I always tell people is look inwardly, and the first thing you want to do is just find out what is your platform. You know, because most people, they hear the sound or they hear the term motivational speaker, and they just like, okay, yeah, I just want to inspire, motivate people. That's good, but what is your area of expertise? What do you have experience in? What can you come and talk to a group about that you know the ins and outs of? And, of course, nobody has the answers to everything, even in your field. But you want to be able to speak from a place that you have some kind of experience about, and most importantly, something you're passionate about. And that's the key thing, you know, developing your platform, just analyzing your life, seeing what you have experience doing. And then once you get that down pat, you know, just looking at some speeches that will inspire and encourage people to do what you do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're just trying to help people, point them in the right direction, and let them know they can make it. And so you pull from your own personal successes and experience, and as well as failures, to be able to motivate people and let them know, hey, you can make it. I succeeded. I'm doing well at this. You can do whatever you're called to do and created to do well as well. And so, like I say, you just have to find your points, but the key is having that platform of your experience, what you're speaking from. And because when you do that, I mean, it just sets you apart. Because sometimes you have a lot of generic people who just speak about, you know, well, I'm just a motivational speaker. Well, what's your platform? Oh, I just speak about whatever. You know, no, you have to be focused and know exactly what is your area that you can motivate and help people with. And myself, my background initially was in the educational field. Well, through the years, God has expanded that. So now I've had work in the spiritual arena, the religious arena. I've had work in the entrepreneurial arena. I've had the success and experience in radio, TV. And what happened, my platform that was started, which was small, has evolved and expanded, and therefore I can speak to a variety of audiences and have success because I've had experience in those various areas.
Yeah.
That's what I try to tell people. You just get started from where you are, and then as you live and grow and have experiences in life, you'll be able to speak in a variety of different capacities and speak on a variety of topics and actually have the expertise and experience to back it up.
So lesson number one, choose your platform. Number two, get started.
Yeah. Bottom line, I love it. Simplify. That's it. Get your platform, get started.
Get started.
And just let people know, hey, I'm doing this. And look, I guess here's another key thing. You know, get out there, do some free ones first, because a lot of times when you might go, hey, they don't know you, you're just starting. And some people, they don't want to do it unless they're getting paid. No, I've done a lot of my speaking engagements were free, but as I stated, they always paid off in some kind of way. It's not going to always be a monetary payoff, but you will make a connection that might pay you that will be worth several speaking engagements. You know, I mean, all kinds of things have happened when I've conducted speaking engagements. So no opportunity is a lost or a wasted one, even if it's just one person. One excited customer can bring in thousands and hundreds of customers.
Mm.
So always remember that concept. And one engagement can bring in multiple engagements.
So you have
to have that mind frame when you're trying to pursue it.
Indeed. That's a nugget. Another nugget of knowledge. I tell people all the time that each gig is an audition for the next one. Because I already got this one.
That's it.
While I'm at this one, though, I'm auditioning for some more. I'm going to want somebody to see me get another opportunity to do this again. We are on the same page, kindred spirits in what we're talking about here.
Yes,
so you talked about TV and success with that. Before I get into the next thing, I got to drop the stats on them. Featured over 100 times, including the Huffington Post, which is major to be able to be featured anywhere on any publication, including this one, but to make Huffington Post and some of these national platforms. Talk a little bit about that. Is it just by chance? Is it something you were going after? Did you submit? How does that even happen?
Yeah, man, well, thank God for that. But we got involved with a couple of different sites that kind of help you and sending you to places or bringing opportunities basically to your email with your different platforms and different topics that you speak on. And then you create a pitch and you submit it to the different, you know, like say podcasts or publications, you name it, that they have. And thank God with the pitch and what we have to do, people are very interested in our story. And because of it, like I said, you know, engagements led to other engagements. And, you know, I've done podcasts here, and somebody will hear me from that one. Another podcast host contact me.
Mm-hmm.
And it snowballed, just like with the speaking engagements. It's the same thing, same process basically happened. But the key was getting that pitch together. And as we stated, as you constantly build your resume and people see that you have a story and that you're getting exposure, people kind of want to align with you. And that's, in essence, people want to align with a winner. And if it appears that you're winning, it appears that, hey, all of these people want to hear your story, I want to hear it too.
I want to hear it too.
You seem interesting.
Yeah.
You seem interesting. So let's see how interesting you are. But thank God. I am spoiled. I keep telling people this because every host and every hostess has been so good. I've enjoyed every last one of those appearances, especially the interviews and the podcast. I have enjoyed myself, and I just love doing this, man. And I guess it emanates, and because of it, God has just opened up all of these doors. But that's how it happened. That's exactly how it happened.
I asked those questions. A lot of that stuff, I understand the process. But I asked those questions for the listeners as well, because in that is another nugget. In that is more coaching. Because what you're saying is that there's a process to success. And I want people to know, that none of this stuff just happens. It's a process to success, and you have to deliberately go after the success. People follow me, they follow the network, they follow different brands, they be like, man, I want to do that. But it, nobody sees the late nights. Nobody sees the emails and the phone calls, the cold calls, the no's, the hell no's. They don't see any of that. And it's not a woe is me. It's just saying that, man, in the building this house, there's a frame, and you gotta know that.
Yeah.
And the people that listen to us, I want them to hear those kind of things. Not just sometimes, you know, when your mom or your dad has the same message over and over again, you get tuned out to it. Yeah. I'd be liking to have somebody else say it other than me, because I feel like I might have said it too many times.
It's good to have that additional voice to confirm and validate and verify what you've already stated. And that's awesome, man. That's good. But like you said, people don't see that behind-the-scenes grind. And one thing, as I was stating earlier, how I don't believe in failure, one thing God put in my spirit was with the word no, to turn it and convert it into an acronym. So no means three things to me. Next option, new opportunity, not over.
Next option, new opportunity, not over.
So every time I encounter a no, Jason, that's what it means to me. Every time. Not when I want to. Not every time I get a no, it's the new opportunity, next option, because it's not over. And that is my mantra. I live by that. And like you said, we see the 100 that I got, close to a little over 100, but you don't see probably the 500 that I didn't get.
That's real talk.
Like you said, I got the no's, but we got the yes as well. And so you have to be willing to have a tough skin to endure the no's so you can get to the yeses. That's what it's all about. Like I say, you just have to be consistent, man, and you have to just bounce back and be resilient and just know that it's not
over. And I'll make sure I kind of stay on schedule, because it sounds like you and I could probably talk for hours, man, on various subjects, man. You also released an instructional program, the G3 Journey, which you talk about the dominant gift. Talk a little bit about the G3 program and talk a little bit about the G3 program first. Talk about that.
Okay. Well, the G3 Journey, man, is called, it just stands for Gift, Glamour, and Goal. And what we do, we have three modules that helps a person to find out what I call the dominant gift is. So we have discovery, development, and matchmaking. And what we do, or what is the dominant gift? The dominant gift is your primary and innate gift that you are created with, that if you can find it, then if you can find it and tap it and use it, then it basically guarantees you some form of success. And what it is with the program is just a methodical way where I expose the six areas of giftedness, where you can fine tune and literally find what you were created to do. And it's, like I said, it's a dominant gift, so it's going to cause you to dominate once you find it, because the opposite of that will be a secondary or an acquired gift. Whereas you can excel and do well with that too. But the thing is, the dominant gift is like your flow, it's your current, and it's your natural inclination. And if you can find it and pursue it, and also you can, it could be used in a variety of capacities, but a lot of times it's that one area of giftedness that causes you to stand out among the rest. And that's what we do in that program, is try to help you identify yours, not only identify, but go through the process, and as you keep saying, that process of developing it, honing your skill, and being able to expose it and utilize it at a very high level. Mm. But that's what the program does.
Okay.
Exactly what it does.
It's something that more people than actually know. I don't think more people know they need it. For one, it's people walking, not walking in their path every day. It's people doing stuff that they ain't even supposed to be doing. And that's on the positive and on the negative side. It's some people that's wasting half their talent, and some people that's plugging at some they don't even need to be plugging at. Be like, listen, this is not what you do. This ain't for you. You kind of need to find your dominant gift. You are doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
you don't like people, but you talk on the phone all day. It's like, this is not customer service is not your thing. You know?
Yeah, that's it.
You're not a morning person, but you drive the bus route in the morning every morning. It's just I see that all the time. You encounter people that's like, you in the wrong spot. You just in the wrong spot.
So, yeah. And like you said, it just sticks out, you know? It sticks out for many. But you're right, man.
So I encourage anybody, I'm gonna say that now, anybody that's listening, I encourage anybody to look into figuring out what the dominant gift is, because also it's people that have so many talents. I say this all the time because you just mentioned all the talents that you have and things that you've been able to tap into and use. I say that having more talent or multiple talents, we probably have it harder than the people who have one. I kind of wish.
Yeah.
I've had times when I wish I only had one talent. So I could focus.
Yeah.
You'd be like, you know what? I'm going to focus on this. No complaints. Let me say that to the Lord, to the higher power. Don't take anything from me. So I'm not asking for me to lose anything. But finding your dominant gift, I think, is very important. And so it's dope that you have a program that gets people into their dominant gift. Now, you've said some things through here. Go ahead. What you about to say?
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
You've said some things throughout the interview that kind of answers this next part of the conversation. But we'll revisit it a little bit more. Now, on Running the Point, we always have a jump ball, and we start with a jump ball. But I wanted to first, they need to know who they're talking to. Had to get an interview before we even give them the jump ball. And what the jump ball really is the topic or the source, the main point of the conversation. You being a consultant, being a life coach, being a coach, period. It sounds like a success coach. You can put coach in front of a couple of words or behind a couple of words here with you. What do you say to people who say, and this is the jump ball, people who say that life coaching, the job, the business, the brand, life coaching is a hoax? There was an article out there, 2016, that came out and said life coaching is the biggest scam of the 21st century. Now, when I said you answered some of the questions, some of the things you're saying, you're coaching through processes, you're coaching people how to think, and so that's more, I think that's, and you can tell me if that's more of the definition of life coaching, but what do you say to people who have that mentality or that outlook? Is this true? Is it not true? What do you think?
No, of course it's not a hoax. And the thing is, I guess when you're looking at life coaching, the reason why people say it's a hoax is because there's no, I guess, formalized training for it. Now, you can go to different programs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We're talking about, say, an accredited institution or an institution of higher learning, as far as a college or university or a course you can take on it. And when you don't have that for any type of skill, then sometimes people kind of frown on it and they don't believe that it's credible. Mm-hmm. And it's wide open. And so whenever you have situations like that, any type of career path that's similar to that, then people kind of sleep on it or slough on it. And for most people, they feel, hey, it's just common sense. You know, you sit down, you do this, and, you know, it's just all about being organized. And, it's, you know, they try to simplify it and downplay it.
Mm-hmm.
But life coaching is very important, especially to those who need direction and are in need of it. Now, everybody does not need life coaching. Everyone doesn't need a mentor and a consultant, but for those who do need them, it's a vital career, and it's something that is actually credible, and people see changes and drastic results, positive results in their lives by using it. And so that's what I would say, you know, just to those who may not need it, I wouldn't say just don't downplay it. Don't call it a hoax just because you don't understand it and it may not be necessary and vital to you. But know that it is necessary and vital to someone who needs direction, who needs help along the way, who needs encouragement, and who needs inspiration, because that's why all of us are here. All of us are actually life coaches and consultant in some area. Mm. It's just, thank God, some people have discovered a way who are more or less entrepreneurs how to generate money and services and products by doing that. But everybody is able to coach. It's just another form of mentoring. That's all it is.
Correct.
And you're just mentoring in a certain area, and you're helping people, and you're getting paid for it. And like I say, a lot of people sometimes they can't grasp the concept of how important and essential it is for lots of people.
Do you think it's the term?
Yes, I would say it's true.
Do you think it's the term? Because life is so broad. The word life,
you
know what I'm saying? So when somebody says life, like, you ain't help me live, fool. You ain't wake me up. You know what I'm saying? So the word life to some people may seem broad. And I said through this conversation, you said some things. You talked about generic people not knowing their platform. And you talked about planning, giving people a plan, helping them find their vision and how to plan that process out. All of that to me does say life coaching, but it may be a closer term to it. You know what I'm saying? It's vision planning or you know, there's various terms. I think life coaching may be the broad title, but it sounds like it's bullet points in there. It sounds like there are bullet points in there, and I think that would help explain. So my question I'm asking you, do you think it's the term life? You think that just life is just a blanket? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it is. Like you said, it makes it a generalization and it makes it very broad. And that's why sometimes I just refer to myself more so as a consultant. A lot of times put life coach in parentheses because sometimes people, they're more apt to bring in a consultant. You say, I'll be your life coach. It's like, hold on, my life is okay. What are you talking about?
Coach my life. Hey, coach your life.
Like you say, what's up with your life? You talking about coaching. So, what you doing? You come in, I'm a consultant. Look, I'm experienced in this area, that area, and they see your expertise. They see your experience. Then it's like, okay, yes, we can work with you. But, yeah, you know, like I said, it's just a loosely based term, and so many people can't grasp it. And that's why I also more so refer to myself as a consultant because it's the same thing. But it's something about that word people respect it more than a life coach, which is basically a synonymous term for life coach. But like I said, so we say, hey, I'm a consultant. It's like, oh, okay, wow, that's good. Yeah.
Because consultant, again, words are important. Consultant's been around, I think, for a long time. I think life coaching is a fairly new, especially to be a occupation. You know, some people say you're a life coach. That just means you ain't got no job. You know, I've heard that before.
You need to get a real job.
Well, you need a job. No, I'm a life coach. Like, girl, you ain't got no money.
Yeah.
I know a couple people pass out a card and say they're life coach and they ain't got no job for real. Yeah. They ain't got no clients either.
Yeah.
So, like, you're not doing well. You haven't found your dominant gift. I feel like you're not walking in your path right now. But life coaching in general, and like I said, you answered a lot of the questions. We answered the questions along the way, but there are people out there who have said that they looked at it from a different direction. But if you look at it as a consultant, a person that can help you bring it all together, because I know people have vision board parties and all of those things to kind of help you grasp all of this knowledge, and it might just be a scramble soup in your head, you know what I'm saying? And you're just like, you know what, I just need somebody to help me pull it all together. And to
there
anybody that's listening, I think that's the point of view they need to take. Just like it's a job. People now are charging people to come and organize their home. They come in and be like, all right, I am a organization consultant, so I show me how to put my shoes in the right place. And to some people, you'll be like, that's foolish. Why you pay somebody to teach you that? But you really, just this perspective, I think we just got to fix our perspective. I think a lot of people need organization in their head, organization of their thoughts. Doesn't mean that you're deficient in life. Doesn't mean you're a bad parent.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean, you know, it's just not – or immature. Just means that, you know what, having a conversation with somebody else that has a different point of view may help me move to the next step. So
exactly.
I think that's dope.
Exactly.
I think that's dope. So
that's why I say, you know, it's good to have like a platform of experience being a life coach, because oftentimes your clients will be those who are trying to get to, say, where you are in that particular field. Mm-hmm. For instance, I can consult and coach people as far as publishing a book or developing a program. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, hey, I'll be life coaching or consulting, but it will be in that, those specific areas. Mm-hmm. But I have the experience to speak from. You know, some people, like I was saying earlier, as far as the generic one, they don't really have any experience or expertise. They haven't really done anything. And therefore, why is someone come and pay you for something you hadn't really done? I mean, how are you going to help them? What area are you going to help them in if you hadn't done anything yourself? And that's why I was saying initially, early on, first off, what is your platform? What experience do you have that you can impart to someone else? Because if you really don't have any, I mean, you're really not, what are you coaching? And how are you mentoring? You know, as a mentor and a consultant, you should be, you know, at least a step or two ahead of those you're trying to help. But if you're in the same boat, then how are you going to assist and help somebody to get out if you're in the same scenario?
Indeed.
That's so important. Yeah.
So what I wanted people to get from the podcast when they leave here, for one, if you're going to be, for one, life coaches out there, find your platform. And get started. Definitely need you to do that. Also, point of view, your perspective. You're coaching. You may be coaching various pieces of a person's life. Yes, life is broad, but be able to speak to what, because you explained it very well. I think life coaches themselves, anybody that's going into being that consultant, need to figure that out. How do they answer that question? I think you answered it well, and so they need to be prepared for that. Number two, number three or four. People have to not be scared to talk to somebody else about their vision, about their plan, about how to get from one point to the next one. I think people should not look down on life coaching and say, you know what, I might need a consultant to help me get to my next level. One quick story. I have used that for myself, and I played baseball. For my listeners, I played baseball as a youngster. I wanted to play pro baseball as an adult. That's what I wanted to do. But nobody knew how to get me from my city, my high school team, to the pros, because nobody around me had played pro baseball. Nobody around me. So my coaches, nobody knew how to get me to the next level. Terribly frustrating. Yeah. I just terribly frustrated as I look back on it. It was frustrating because I was good enough.
Yeah.
I was good enough to make it to A level. I don't know, size wise, I might have got to a point where I wasn't big enough to play. Skill wise, I definitely could have played pro, high school baseball, possibly minor league baseball. But what I learned is nobody knew the process. Nobody knew how to get me there. And I take that same outlook and apply it to my career now, apply it to my goals now. Talk to somebody that's done it. Get some positive mentors. If you're the smartest person in your circle, you need to adjust your circle. If you're the most successful person in your circle, you got to adjust your circle. So these are the things that I've applied from living life. Just like you said, you live some life and then you learn and then you apply it. I want to leave our listeners with that information. I think you have gave our listeners a lot to think about. You gave our listeners a better perspective on what it is you do and how they can go about accomplishing their goals, man. You're an extremely accomplished man. 100 plus features, the 300 speaking engagements, 6 musical projects that we didn't even get into. We'll talk about that another time. But you guys, I want everybody to follow Damon Naylor right now. Again, give them your social media and your website, sir.
Okay. Like I said, Instagram is Damon, Damon, dot Naylor, Nailer. It's the same thing at Facebook, Damon, dot Nailer. And Twitter is DARIL and the number 1. And then my most comprehensive website is TheRealDARIL.org. And on that one, it actually has the links to my other social media accounts. So, yeah.
Definitely. Follow him. Remember, each and every Monday, I'm on IBNX Radio, JC Squared on the air, 7 to 9 every single Monday. That's IBNXradio.com/JC Squared. You can listen every Monday or catch us live on YouTube on the IBNX Radio Network. Follow Jason804 on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and follow the Atlanta ATL Podcast Network. ATL Podcast Network, ATLPN.com, and check out all the shows, not just Running the Point. This is Running the Point with Jason Carey. We're with Damon Naylor, and we out of here.
Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Running the Point with Jason Carey on the ATL Podcast Network, the intelligent podcast.